Hello and welcome to another edition of the Byron York Show, the No Chit Chat podcast. Brought to you today by Upstart. We'll talk about that later. We want to get right into it. And the subject today is a difficult subject. It's assessing Donald Trump's disastrous end, the disastrous end to his presidential term. Trump is now the only president ever to be impeached twice. Now, that says a lot about Nancy Pelosi's and the Democratic Party's obsessive quest to remove him from office. I'll speak more about that in a few minutes, but the impeachment is also the result of a disastrous turn in Trump's presidency since the November 3rd election. Before November 3rd, there was a lot of speculation, a lot of guessing that Trump would not accept the results of the election. And then, when the day arrived, sure enough, he did not accept the results of the election. Now, that one action would lead to catastrophe in his final weeks in office. Still, Trump was within his rights, at least at the beginning, in the days immediately following the election, to challenge the results in some key states. Ironically, while Trump was pursuing those challenges, he also enjoyed what should have been one of the highest notes of his presidency. He presided over the successful development of a COVID vaccine. On Monday, November 9th, less than a week after the election, the drug maker Pfizer announced a vaccine that it said was 90% effective. And that announcement was followed by other equally effective vaccines. It was a stunning success for Trump's Operation Warp Speed. He had promised the program would deliver a vaccine in record time. You remember it. His critics scoffed. Some of them accused him of lying. And then he delivered a vaccine in record time. It was, or it should have been, a triumph for Trump, an accomplishment that would be a high point, perhaps the highest point of any presidency. Now, that was Monday, November 9th. So the Pfizer announcement also comes on the morning of the first business day after all major media outlets called the election for Joe Biden. Even though a few states were still not settled, Biden had cleared the hurdle of 270 electoral votes, making him the next president. So at that moment, Trump had a choice. He could concede the election, and he could focus his remaining time in office on getting the vaccine to the Americans who needed it most. And you all know, subsequent experience showed that some states would do an unthinkably bad job distributing the vaccine. Trump could focus on that, or he could focus on challenging the election. Well, he chose to focus on challenging the election. Now, it was an impossible task to win. Trump would have had to turn around the election results in not one, not two, but three states, say Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania. Although he claimed massive fraud, he could not find enough irregularities to make a dent in the results in any of those states, or in any other state for that matter. All right, on November 12th, 3 days later, I headlined my newsletter, The Daily Memo, quote, "It's all over but the lawsuits." And I wrote that there is, quote, no hope Trump could reverse the results in any state. The election was over, although Trump certainly had the right to take his case to court. So he did so, and he did it over and over and over, and he lost nearly every time. Even if there had been hope of successfully challenging the results, Trump did not put together a systematic effort to do it. That would have been extremely important. He chose instead to rely on a ragtag team of lawyers led by Rudy Giuliani. And that blew up in his face on November 19, when one of his attorneys, Sidney Powell, alleged that Joe Biden's victories in some key states were the result of, and I'm going to quote now, quote, "the massive influence of communist money through Venezuela, Cuba, and likely China in the interference with our elections here in the United States," end quote. Sidney Powell presented a theory that the Dominion voting system and Smartmatic software, which she said were, quote, created in Venezuela at the direction of Hugo Chavez, had been used to steal the election from Trump. Quote, President Trump won by a landslide, she said. Now, she didn't offer any evidence of this Dominion software thing or this Dominion voting system thing or this Smartmatic software stuff. She didn't offer any evidence at the time or ever to support this theory, and she's now facing a defamation suit from Dominion. Now, this news conference, the one on November 19th, marked a disastrous turn in the Trump effort. My newsletter headline the next day was Growing Concern About the Trump Legal Fight. Quote, this is me writing on November the 20th. Quote, Republicans saw the entire exercise as moving Trump's case backward, not forward. That was an understatement. Maybe I was being a little too nice there, but it certainly did move Trump's case backward. Still, Trump decides to press ahead. He lost a key case in Pennsylvania, and Sidney Powell, went on to make ever more outrageous allegations and finally going far enough to be booted off the Trump team. Now, all the while, Republicans hoped that Trump would find it in himself. There was something else going on here. They hoped that Trump would find it in himself to help the Republican Party win the two Senate seats that were at stake in the Georgia runoff. Now, these were races that would determine whether Republicans kept control of the Senate, which would be critically important if Democrats were to control the White House and the House of Representatives. The Senate meant everything for Republicans, so they were hoping that Trump would really focus on that. But Sidney Powell and an ally, an attorney named Lynn Wood, worked to sabotage the Republican Party's chances in Georgia, arguing that the voting system there was so corrupt that Georgians should not even turn out to vote. Now, Trump went to Georgia on December 6th, and he delivered a speech that was solidly in support of the two candidates there, David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler. Solidly in support. But then he immediately resumes his election challenges. Okay. Now, that was December 6th that he goes there. The absolute last moment for Trump and his challenges was December 14th. 3 days before that, on the 11th, the Supreme Court declined to hear the last big legal challenge made on Trump's behalf, which was the lawsuit from the state of Texas. Then, on the 14th, the Electoral College met to cast its votes. Now, everybody knew what the result was going to be. Joe Biden won with 306 votes to Trump's 232. And my Daily Memo headline that day was very, very simple. It said, time for Trump to stop. And we're going to stop here for just a second to get a word from Upstart, and then we'll be back. Your credit card, you all know what it is. It's that little plastic thing that can get you in trouble. And sometimes we use it too much and run up too much debt. Sometimes people do that because they've acted irresponsibly, but sometimes they do it because of circumstances they just can't control. And they have too much money, too many expenses, too much money owed, and they have to do something about it. And one thing that people do is they consolidate all of their various credit card debts into one loan. And one way to do that is Upstart. It is the fast and easy way to get a personal loan to pay off all of your debt all online. Paying off credit cards, other debts, over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get a simple, fixed monthly payment. Upstart finds smarter rates with trusted partners because they assess more than just your credit score. With a 5-minute online rate check, you can see your rate up front for loans from $1,000 to $50,000. You can get approved the same day and can receive funds as quickly as one business day. If debt is taking over your life, and sometimes it does, it's time to get a fresh start from Upstart. So find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/Byron. That's upstart.com/Byron. And Byron, by the way, is B-Y-R-O-N. It's not Brian. It's not Bryson. It's Byron, B-Y-R-O-N. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know we sent you. Now, loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/Byron. Okay, I was talking about the Electoral College vote on December 14th, which cemented Joe Biden's win, 306 electoral votes to Trump's 232. And the 14th of December, under, I think, the most liberal reading of Trump's effort to challenge the results, December 14th should have been the end of it, but it was not the end of it. And everything that occurred in Trump's election challenges after December 14th was a fiasco or worse. Just got worse. On December 17th, Michael Flynn, the former National Security Advisor, suggested that Trump could impose martial law to seize election machines and rerun the election in some states. Trump could, quote, order, I'm quoting from Michael Flynn here, quote, order within the swing states, if he wanted to, he could take military capabilities and he could place them in these states and basically rerun an election in each of these states. That's what Flynn said on Newsmax. The Daily Memo newsletter the next day was headlined, Dangerous Talk About the Election and the Military. But things got even worse. Early on the morning of December 19th, so this is 5 days after the Electoral College has voted its results. All the states had certified their elections. In the morning of December 19th, Trump tweeted a report by his advisor, Peter Navarro. And Trump said the report showed that it was, quote, statistically impossible to have lost the 2020 election. And then Trump added one note, quote, big protest in D.C. on January 6th. Be there, will be wild. Now, that reflected the Trump team's position that the December 14th Electoral College vote didn't really matter. It was the January 6th congressional ratification of the Electoral College vote that was the big opportunity to reverse the election results. So that was on December 19th. Then, so there's Christmas and New Year's. Then on January 2nd, Trump talked for an hour on the phone with Brad Raffensperger, the Georgia Secretary of State. Now, that call was heard by some lawyers on both sides, and Raffensperger's team secretly recorded it and gave it to the Washington Post. So the next day, on January 3rd, the Post reported that Trump had pressed Raffensperger to, quote, find 11,780 votes that put Trump past Biden in Georgia. Trump maintained that many times that number of votes had been stolen from him, and all Raffensperger had to do was identify just a few of those, and he could win. Quote, I only need 11,000 votes, Trump said. Fellas, I need 11,000 votes. Give me a break. Now, things were really getting bad at that point. The call was impossible for Trump defenders to defend. And had there been more time remaining in Trump's term, it might have led to another Trump impeachment. But events were moving so quickly here in Washington, and attention turned to that January 6th session in Congress, which would ratify the results of the Electoral College. Now, many Republicans in the House and a few in the Senate had promised to object to the Electoral College results of some states, meaning there would be a long debate before ratification could occur. Now, it wasn't going to work. Biden would win in the end, but January 6th promised to be the last stand for Trump's Stop the Steal effort. Now, everybody knows what happens then. The day began with the president speaking at a rally on the Ellipse. At that very moment, some of his supporters were preparing to storm and ransack the Capitol. In the ensuing riot, five people, including a Capitol Police officer, died. The sight of rioters breaching the Capitol was stunning to millions of people on television. It probably was to you as you watched it. And Trump watched too, but he did not respond until the violence had reached an extraordinary level, and then only in a perfunctory way. After it was all over, Congress, which was led by Vice President Mike Pence, reconvened and ratified Joe Biden's victory. Now, it was the actions of that day, January 6th, that led to Trump's second impeachment. Now, the second impeachment is impossible to defend. It was a quickie job. It cheapened the idea of impeachment and was possibly unconstitutional. I mean, given the very few days left in Trump's term, Congress will be seeking to remove from office a president who has already left office. It makes no sense. I did an earlier podcast about this, I think, and called it the crazy impeachment. Still, Trump had to know that his actions would bring a response from the same House leaders who had already impeached him once. Okay, so now Trump has just days left in his term. And many Republicans are stunned by what has happened at the end of his presidency. And so now, seeking to make sense of it all, they are dividing the presidency into the long period from his inauguration in 2017 to the election on November 3rd, 2020, and the short period after, from November 3rd, 2020 until today. Trump's term before the election, in other words, those nearly 4 years, were marked by a remarkable set of accomplishments. He cut taxes and enacted serious deregulation that sparked the economy, led to an increase in wages not seen in decades, and created a foundation for more growth after the disaster of COVID and the accompanying lockdowns. He appointed 3 Supreme Court justices and a slew of appeals court justices. They were a dream come true for conservatives. He made significant progress toward peace in the Middle East. None of his critics ever got close to expecting that. He strengthened the military. He made progress on illegal immigration. And finally, he pushed and cajoled and pressured pharmaceutical companies to create a COVID vaccine with a speed that many did not believe was possible. That is a very impressive record. Of course, Democrats fought Trump every step of the way and began the work to remove him from office before he even took office. And he made all sorts of mistakes. Trump made all sorts of mistakes. But the record is the record, and it is an impressive list of achievements. And then, after November 3rd, it was one disaster after another. With the exception of the vaccine, everything Trump did after the election has led to catastrophe for himself, for the Republican Party, and for the nation. It did not have to be that way. Trump's refusal to accept the results of the election was the single decision that led to a series of events that cast a shadow on everything he had accomplished before. All right, so that's my read of what's been happening in the last 2.5 months. I have already seen on Twitter that many people have a different view of things. But I want to thank you for listening, and I hope you'll join us again soon for another edition of the Byron York Show.
Ricochet. Join the conversation.